I will turn to the book of Psalms, 86th Psalm. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says, speaking of wisdom, by me, kings reign, princes. You know, we wonder what's wrong with the government. Government fears, I don't know what they fear, losing a vote maybe, I don't know. They got a ways around the vote anyway, they can cheat on that. All the crooks is controlling most of the election anyway, and who's running and everything else. I said it and I still mean it. When you look at what run for the president in our last election, and if I say if that's the best America can do, we are in trouble. I don't know what the answer for this country is, or this world. I know it's the Lord, but I'm more concerned about family, my church family, my own relationship with God. We're concerned about those things. Other things take care of itself. We can't. This world system is the devil's. And I have no intention myself in meddling in his affairs. I let God deal with him. And with the nations, the day's coming, judgment's coming. Read the other week, he's going to take and separate the nations. You know, the sheep from the goats. That's coming. Judgment is coming. And, I would like to see fear in our churches again. I'd like to be able to see the preacher preach and people have conviction, have concerns. I can't very seldom you ever see church members, you know, with tears in their eyes anymore. You ask yourself, when's the last time you broke down over a lost family member, wept for their soul, cried out to God for them? Let's look at ourselves. It's got to start with us. It's good to pray for our leaders, sure. What example? What example are we leaving? I can only look at myself. I know what I am, and I don't. It's like I was telling Sister Karen yesterday. I walked up, saw this fella in the mirror, and I said, "One thing about it, buddy, I don't like you." I was talking to me. I was looking at me. I don't like you. I know what's in me. That is my flesh. There's no good thing in there. It's a war. It's a battle. Coming to church this morning, I was praying, coming down the road, and I said, "God, help me to deal with these things." I said, "Lord, I need your help. What would you have me to do?" Verse come across loud and clear. Delight yourself in the Lord. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. What is our desires? When we delight ourselves in the Lord, what he wants is what we want. What do we want? You know, I know what it's like to go out on visitation. You feel like you got to. have a profession. Gotta have one. You know what I want? I want a profession. What did God want? God wants us to be there to help people. You find Jesus. Look at the life he lived. You find him out there, you know, ABC 1-2-3 soul winning. You see him going out there confrontationally saying, buddy, what if you died today? You know, sure you're going to heaven? No, he won them to himself. They saw somebody who genuinely cared, trying to meet their needs. I don't know. Nobody but me. I got to answer to God for me. And this word is a candle down in my spirit to show me what I am. Last week we read that them verses over there in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we looked at three ways. We looked at the ways of this world. We looked at the ways of God. And we looked at our way. This morning, I want to look more on the way. Last week, we looked a lot at the ways of the world. This morning, I'd like to look a little bit on the ways of God. And in the book of Psalms 86, again reading in verses 1, hope I wrote that down right. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Seemed like a strange statement for a man to make, isn't it? I am holy. What's he simply saying? I am yours. I've been set apart for you. I belong to you. I am holy. I am thine. Didn't mean that he was sinlessly perfect or anything like that, or that his glory matched God's. It simply means he belonged to God for God to use. Just like this book right here. Three, why we call it a holy Bible. It's a book for our use. It's been set apart to help us. And he says, preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth unto my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. Three things I noticed right there. I don't know if you noticed them. First off, he gave acknowledge to the way of God, the truth of God, and the life evermore. The ways of God. Look at this. right here, just in this psalm, several things we can see God's ways. What is God like? What is His ways? The Bible, one point says over there, you know, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You know? Let God show you your ways, then how does it compare to the ways of Jesus Christ? You know? Ask ourselves, I'm different. You know I am. I don't agree with a lot of things I hear said. And I ain't saying they're right. I mean, they're wrong and I'm right. I just can only believe what I feel like God's showing me. I believe a Christian is not necessarily somebody who lives Christ-like. I believe a Christian is somebody who has that same anointing, like He said, for I am holy. What makes us holy? You're holy. What makes you holy? It's Christ. Christ. In yourself, what do you got? Exactly, it's Christ. It's all Christ. What makes a man a Christian? Christ. It's not what you do. It's whose you are. You have that same, and that word Christ is another word, is the anointed one. You've been anointed. You have that same anointing. You have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved. If you don't have the Spirit of God, the Bible says you're none of His. So you either got the Holy Spirit or you don't. And if you got it, you're going to keep it. And you are Christian. You might not live like you ought to. You might not live like a Christian, but you are one. Just like you're a saint. You might not act like a saint, but you are. That's the ways of God. He's got a way. He's got a way. His way is to come in and be merciful. The Bible says over in Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requireth of you. These are God's ways. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Humble man, a man that's humbled before God will be holy. Now, probably the greatest sin that's in our churches to date is pride. We somehow or another, we've come to a point, it's us and it's them. It's us and them. And, you know, we're better. We wouldn't say it, but a lot of us are getting more and more Calvinistic every day. You know? I mean, we get this attitude, you know, hey, Lord, I know, I've been called a Calvinist, but there's one thing I know for sure, God has died for every last man on this earth, and salvation is theirs if they'll just accept it. Amen. Jesus Christ has been given to every man. That's God's ways, you see. God don't say, well, I like, you know, I'll accept Him, but I won't accept Him. He died for everybody. He is just. Now you tell me how just it would be if Brother Jim was a sinner and Brother Melvin was a sinner and said, you know one thing about it? I'm gonna save Melvin because he's a Carolina fan, and I'm not gonna save this rascal because he's a politician. No, God ain't like that. It's crossed the board. It's level. He died for every man, boy, woman, and child. Just because He knows who will get saved and who won't. Just because God is angry with people because they won't accept His Son, Jesus Christ. And that does make Him angry. And he won't save them if they don't accept his son. Yeah, he's not willing that any should perish. But just because he knows, and the Bible said he made the wicked for the day of evil, huh? For that judgment that's coming. And he knows them. He knows them all. He knows us. Every man, woman, that's the ways of God. God said he loves them that loves mercy. That's one of God's ways. That's the first thing you see over here in this psalm. Because what's he doing? He's crying out. He's calling in the days of trouble. He's asking for mercy, you see. He's, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in me. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. He's calling out for mercy. Well, first thing, if a man's calling out for mercy, guess what? He realizes he's not righteous in himself. He realizes what he is. He's a sinner. He's asking for mercy. He knows what he deserves. He deserves like I feel this morning, like I'm laying in hell, my back broke. But I'm not laying in hell, my back broke. I'm going to get a new body, praise God, one day. Huh? And to love mercy. That's one of the ways of God. When we got a church that loves mercy, when it can go out there and find the dirtiest, the filthiest, the lowest downest, and reach out to them and show them mercy, then there might be some fear of the Lord. Because we won't do that if we don't fear God. We won't. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's wise to love mercy. You're foolish if you don't want mercy. A fool will say, I just want what's coming to me. Oh, yeah, I just want what's coming to me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we got a lot of church people who wouldn't say that and laugh at somebody saying it, but they live like it. Because they don't love mercy. They don't love people who are in bad straits, in wickedness. And as you look in Psalms 58, this is what God loves. People that goes out and breaks the bands of the wicked. Their bands. How do you do that? What's the power to do that? What's the dynamite to bust them chains up? Is it not the Word of God, the Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it not the power of God and the salvation? Is it not kept in these earthen vessels? Amen. This is God's ways to love mercy. Not only to love mercy. Look here. Look what he says. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, Lord, do I lift up my soul, for thou art good. You know what he's saying right here? God, you are good, and you will fill my heart with joy. You ought to keep us on the firing line is that goodness of God. He's merciful to us. Why? Why is he merciful? Because he's good. If we're not merciful, guess why we're not merciful? Because we're not good. If we don't show inclined mercy to people and forgiveness, guess what? We're not good. God is good. He says, for thou art good and ready to forgive. These are the ways of God. Goodness and forgiveness. You ever forgiven somebody a debt? You ever done that? Did it make you feel better? I mean, when you really forgive it, when you really forgive it, you look at them like, they don't owe me nothing. We're square. Huh? Now, if you don't forgive it, if you say, well, just forget it, that's not forgiving it. Huh? That's not forgiving a debt. You're still holding it over them. Just forget it. Don't pay me back. But if you're holding it over them, they know it. But when you can really forgive a debt where somebody owes you something, don't worry about it. You know, I do not want this money to come between me and you. When you do that, when you got that kind of forgiveness, you can forgive a debt. You know what? You'll walk away from that situation with joy. Huh? Why? Because you've kept a friend or made one. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change them. What difference does it make? What matters is what it does for you. Huh? Amen. You can only pray for them that God would help them. But when you do the right thing, the blessings is on you. I think that's one of the reasons why God is quick to forgive is because what it does for him. Gives him great joy to be merciful, to be kind, to be good, to be long-suffering. What if God was like us? If God was like us, I promise you, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I'd been out here a long time ago. Some of y'all would have too. Hey, look. But God is good. This is some of the ways of God. He's good. He's merciful. He rejoices the soul of our servant. That's his thing. And notice this. Over and over and over, we find God giving. Giving. I remember years ago, a boy I worked with, and there were some people, and they were talking, and they said, well, you know, a marriage has got to be, you know, 50-50. It's give and take. You know, you got to meet each other in the middle. He said, no, you're wrong. It ain't 50-50. It's not meeting each other in the middle. It's 100%. It's about you giving and giving and giving without expecting something back. It's when you're willing to do whatever it takes to preserve this relationship. Long as it ain't wrong. You know, you understand what I'm saying. You're not going to do anything wrong, wicked, bad. But you give and you give and you give. You go into a relationship with that attitude. Look at God. God ain't, hey, if it was about 50% God and 50% us, God would keep his part, and guess what? We would fail, wouldn't we? We'd fall through the hole and we'd still be lost. Huh? If it was up to us to keep our relationship with God, how long would your relationship with God last? If it's up to you to keep that relationship warm, it's the goodness of God that leadeth man unto repentance. Hey, and no, I'm not just throwing this out here. And you know, I know we all can get them holier than thou attitudes. We all can, you know. But I'm just simply saying, if it wasn't for God, there wouldn't be no relationship. The first prayer I ever prayed, really prayed, guess where it started? Was it with me? No. It was God showing me where I was at. He provokes me. He speaks to my heart and provokes me. And then I begin to, and then I don't know how to pray, do I? Ain't that what the Bible says? We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes utterances and He utters words that can't be expressed with our mouth. It can't come out of our mouth. In words that cannot be uttered. He speaks and prays for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes in heaven for us because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what we are to pray for. That's the reason why the disciples, you know, said, teach us to pray. He didn't necessarily teach them how to pray. He said, teach us to pray. Huh? Because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what people need. How many of us in here pray that Brother James would come home, be healed? I hope we all did. But evidently, it was time for Brother James to go home. Now, hopefully we're praying now that God will do in the family what God knows is best. That God will do in us what He knows to be best. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we are to work at this thing. We need to pray and ask God to teach us how to pray and what to pray. As that verse I first mentioned, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It does good. It's good when you know what God wants and you can pray, oh, your will, Lord. Have you ever had that to happen? You ask God, Lord, what? How should I pray? What should I pray about? What is it that you want in this situation? And God reveal it to you. Isn't it sweet to be able to pray what God wanted you to pray and know that that prayer is going to be answered with a big yes? Amen? Huh? These are the ways of God. The ways of God, Jesus says, come unto me. Not only is God forgiving, but He's a God of invitation. I don't know how it is at your house. When I was growing up, you remember back before they had phones, Brother Jim, and you just went and visited people? Sometimes you get there around supper time and you throw a few more taters in the pot, ask you to say, huh? That's called hospitality, isn't it? Huh? I don't know. We live in a day where there ain't a whole lot of hospitality anymore. You know, we like our relationships to be kind of distant. We can keep them on the computer, you know what I mean? Huh? A lot of people's friends are, that's as close to a friend as they get as they're on their computer, you know. Yeah. Hey. But God is hospitable. God's hospitality. His invite is always open. He said, come unto me. Come. How many of you are going to say, hey, y'all come over to my house after church today. I'm going to feed you. Huh? No, we're not going to do that. But God does. Every day. Every moment. You say, well, I know I'm not able to. Are you sure? I don't know. Somebody ought to try that one time. I remember hearing of a woman one time. She said she always heard you couldn't outgive God, and so she started giving. She had some property. Well, they needed a church, not a church, a hospital over in Africa. So she decided to buy this property for them to build this hospital on and supply, you know, the hospital. You know what I mean? Over there. So they started digging the foundation for the hospital. And guess what they found? Huh? Diamonds. Diamonds. In Africa, it's usually diamonds. They found diamonds. Lots of diamonds. And more than enough to take care of the hospital, you know, and keep the hospital going forever after, you know. And there were several other things that she did. She was just bound and determined. She was going to find out and how God just continued. What if we just took God at his word? What if we just did like Jesus? Maybe God would break open the heavens. I don't know. I don't know. I want to learn a little bit about trying that, though. Trying God. Giving and giving and giving and giving and giving it all. That's another thing. When you reach in your wallet, God brings somebody across and he says, this is a need, David. I reach in there to pull out, you know, couple dollars, you know, or five or whatever. He said, no, I want you to give it all. So you jerk it all out of your wallet. So I don't need no crackers this week. I don't need no soft drink this week. I can drink water. I eat too much as it is. And just give it all. Boy, that's the way God is. Is it not? Is this not the ways of God? If he would give us his only begotten son, what do you think he would keep back? How do we give? What's the ways of our ways compared to the ways of God? These are some of the ways of God. He gives and he gives and he gives. And he said, among the gods, there's none like unto thee, O Lord. Look at that little G right there. You know, that word gods right there, you can put your name right there. You know that, don't you? Huh? Right? You're a God. Yes, you are. Jesus said so. He said, have you not seen that the Lord said that you are gods? Huh? You're a little God. Little G-O-D. You can put your name. Among their gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou see, right there, right immediately, he said, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Why? Because his ways are great. His ways are great. And thou doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Then the psalmist writes down there, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Look over here in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Get this out of, get this up in the New Testament. Get it over in our dispensation. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to faith hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It didn't say that he was righteous. God is righteous. But he believed God, and that was right. You see? When we believe God, it's counted for righteousness. God says, that's right, boy. It doesn't mean that we do right. We simply means that we believe unto righteousness. We believe what God says. You can look over in the book of John where this is what John the Baptist said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's believing what God says. It's believing what God says. He said, I've given unto you eternal life. See, God gave us eternal life. Do you believe that? This is a record, the Bible said. This is a record. We read it over in the book of 1 John. This is a record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave us His Son. Did He give Him to you? To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. See, He gave His Son to the whole world. But there's got to come a time in your life when you want Him. When you want Him, you get Him. You got to receive it. And I did this a lot. I ain't got a thing in my pocket. Yeah, I got a dollar. Let's see how stubborn people are. Brother Jim, I'd like to give you this dollar. Please. Ah! Yes, sir. There you go. I had it. I gave it. Now He's God. Because He accepted it. Just as simple as that. God gave His Son. God gave us His Son. And God has been good. And He did it because He's good. He did it because He loves us. God has bestowed His love upon us. You find also in the book of Romans that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated that love, this free gift. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's free to us, but it wasn't free to God. God had to pay a price. It's free for us. We can't pay a thing. We got nothing to pay with. Got nothing to pay with. But God paid our sin debt with His Son. Now, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherever the glory. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God that it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward, not working of grace, but of debt. If we could work for it, that means that God would owe us. God don't owe us. God has shown mercy unto us and give us what we didn't deserve. Praise His name. Even as David also described the blessedness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly. God has justified us. That verse over in John, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ, came not only to justify us, but to justify His Father. He had to justify His Father. If He hadn't have justified His Father in forgiving us and not punishing us in a lake of fire, then something had to be done to make it just, right? Wages of sin is death. God demands a just balance. We've read that over in the Old Testament over and over again. God hates an unequal balance, right? If God just... why couldn't God just forgive us? Then He wouldn't have been just. If He said, I'm going to take them forget the sin and everything. I'm just going to be merciful to them. And I'm just going to, we're not going to worry. We're going to throw the sin thing out. Forget it. You come on in. I know you're just flesh. No, that wouldn't have been just. You want to know what justice is? An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. A life for a life. We had lost our life. Jesus Christ had to get His so that we could get life back. And God, this is the ways of God. He's just. And He has justified Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, because that's how much He loved us. That's how much he loved this world that he created. That's how much he loves every lost sinner. That he gave it all. Gave it all. These are the ways of God. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Ha! I like that. Look at this. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus went to that cross for the love he had for his Father and died there. For the love he had for his Father. The Father so loved the world that he gave his Son to die there. That love might cover our sins. And covereth. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcised? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Before there was any works whatsoever. What was circumcision? It was a work. It was something that God gave him to do, to demonstrate his faith. God had already justified him. He was already in the faith of God, you see. But now God gave him something to do. And he circumcised himself and his sons, showing his belief in what God was doing for him. Bible, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we understand that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's the works that he has done. This is the ways of God, but he does have a work for us to do. That's the way of God. Wouldn't it be, I don't know, I like to work, you know, and the older I get and the harder it is for me to work, the more I want to work, but I can't work like I used to. When I was strong and able, I didn't want to work that much. I wanted to play, you know. But now that I'm getting old and it's hard for me to work, I find myself wanting to work more. I want to work harder, you know, but I can't, you know. Sometimes I think that's the way Christians get. When they first get saved, you know, maybe they're young or whatever, you know. Yeah, they want to do something for God, but, you know, then you start getting old and, God, you can't do what you used to. Huh? But you want to. But you can't. You know? Find myself wanting to go harder and go more and go further, but I can't. I'm more slap out. I get off of work. Me and my wife laugh at each other. We get off of work. We're both exhausted. I fix supper. It'd be about 7:30. I say, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to bed. Then you go to bed and you lay there and can't sleep because you hurt too bad. You know what I'm talking about, huh? So then you get up, mill around, do a little something. I don't know. Just the way things are. This God, he gives us something to do. He justifies and he's allowed us to believe him. That's our part. We get to believe God, you know. And the only way we can do that is through the power of this Word of God. It's through the power of this Word of God. So it's all him, is it not? That's the ways of God. He made us. He created us. He redeemed us after he created us. I always like that story about the little boat. you know, where the little boy made the boat and he took it out in an old rainy day and the boat got away from him and went down there. He was walking by a store one day and he saw his little boat sitting in the window. He ran and said, "Sir, that's my boat in the window. I made that boat." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, boy." I said, "It ain't your boat no more." He said, "You got gone. It's my boat." And the little boy said, "Well, how much do you want for the boat?" The fella told him, but he went out and he mowed yards. He scrimped together. He come in there and, boy, he laid the money out and all the little pennies and counted out and said, "Okay, son, the boat's yours." And he went and got the boat. He said, "Now you're twice mine." He said, "I made you. And now I bought you. God made me. And when I was a young man, I chose to follow the ways of sin. And I got lost and away from God. God came and found me in a store window one day." Amen. What's the price? My son. He paid it. That's God. That's the ways of God. Now I'm twice his. He created me. He's redeemed me. I am his. He's God alone. And I am his alone. I do not belong to myself. I need to learn that, as we all do. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your love and kindness. Thanks for all your mercies. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd bless the day. Lord, God, I pray you'd empower our pastor. Lord God, speak to our hearts. Challenge us to live and walk with you. Forgive us, dear Lord, because we fail you often. And I shouldn't even ought to pray that, because God, you said we're to forgive even as we are for Christ's sake already forgiven. Thank you for that forgiveness. Now, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd work in my heart through the Word of God today. Teach me to walk close by your side. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. My brother. Amen. Oh, hey. You do well. Amen. Hey, buddy. Afternoon, good morning, good morning. I got your hand full of candy. You're giving away candy, is that what it is? No, thank you. Good morning, bud. Oh, there he is. I was going to say, where's that brother? Hey, buddy, good to see you. Hey, Miss Hannah. Oh, yeah.
My brother's walking to church.
Yeah, he sure is, ain't he? Amen. Hey, brother. Hey, man.